This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk, the masterclass.
So this is a masterclass about supporting the creative arts, the cottage industries. All of you men and women who've got a talent, a passion for cooking, for manufacturing your own wine, your own gin, clothes, and you want to develop it into something, a side hustle. But where and how do you create a market? Because we're often told that one of the limitations for entrepreneurs is the ability to engender a market. Initially, it's word of mouth, it's a customer here and it's a customer there. But how do you build your profile? And a farmer's market is a really incredible way of doing it, because this is where you develop friendships and a camaraderie with others who are like you. You are introduced to new customers and you start to really create a brand new market for yourself. But more than anything else, for the community at large, for those of us who are not talented and craftsmen and women, it's a place where we meet, we commune, we converse, we have fun in a safe, beautiful, creative environment and just connect with nature. Because in a built-up concrete jungle like Johannesburg, that's another thing, is where do you go and feel this proximity with nature without having to leave the city completely? And a farmer's market really does engender itself to it. So we're joined now by Greg Straw. He's the founder and owner of the Four Ways Farmer's Market. He launched that farmer's market many years ago because there was this need to create a relaxed picnic-like environment in that built-up area called Four Ways, which is in the north of Johannesburg. I've often heard them say Four Ways in and no way out. And from its inception, that farmer's market has been a hit. And now they are catering to thousands of punters with more than 80 independent food vendors, really launching what we'd call careers in the craft and cottage industry. Greg, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's talk about the concept of a farmer's market. And I've just described that in that built-up era of Four Ways, right, people needed an outlet. So that's how it was born. But it's become something. It's become an institution. Tell us about that.
You know, when you touched on it earlier about creating a venue for picnics. So when I started that farmer's market, the whole concept was to actually create a picnic park. I'm not a Joburger. I'm from the Natal Midlands, and I was varsity down in Durban and spent a lot of time in the Cape, and I wanted to make a pretty place, because I think this is one of the most important things, is if we are going to live in this crazy big town, let's make things beautiful. Mm. You know, anybody can slap something on top of a shopping center and a car park, but to build something beautiful was the idea, and that was the game plan. So bought the old Keith Kirsten nursery over the road from Monte Cassino and revamped it and remodeled it. And what I do for a real job is I'm actually a landscape architect and a horticulturist. So I redesigned that, and we created initially a picnic park. And then as time went by, in the space of 2-3 weeks, I realized what I actually wanted to try and do is, let me not compete against other markets. Let me try and create an outdoor supermarket. So the whole idea was, I'd gone and I'd walked inside a little mini Woolies, and I'd arrived at the front, and there were the flowers, then the veg, then the fruit, then the dairy, then the bread. And I'd walked the aisles and I thought, how could I create an outdoor supermarket in Joburg? Mm. And initially, when we first started, it's 9.5 years ago, it was quite along those lines of being fresh produce. If you didn't make it, bake it, or grow it, you couldn't sell it. That was my concept. But Joburg is an interesting one. We are not the Natal Midlands, and we're not the Cape, where people will go to a market and buy fresh flowers and buy cheese and buy eggs. Not in Joburg.
Why not?
I have had vendors sell fresh produce left, right, and center and not sell enough. But they will come and buy finished foods.
Ah.
Because a Joburg would rather push a trolley and get fresh produce than walk along an aisle where you're meeting the farmer. So much so that myself and an amazing new partner that I've been bringing into another side, Mbali Nonkwe, Nwonke, she Green Terrace Farms, we're going to actually start a Boere market type thing in Joburg, a fresh produce market on Saturday mornings, to try and encourage that and to try and get that back on track.
But is that reluctance of Johannesburgers to buy their fresh produce? Is it not a function of exposure? And I'll say, because, you know, as you said, this is a built-up area. This is real city living, concrete jungle stuff. So I want to be careful what I'm saying here. People are not inclined to have allotments and be growing their veg in the garden, etc. And so our concept of food is the supermarket, whereas when you're living in the Cape and the Natal Midlands, you're surrounded by nature.
You are, but the crazy part is when people go down to Cape Town, when they go to the Midlands, then they go and buy like that. So we are in the process of trying to re-educate and bringing in new bread guys, bringing in dairy, bringing in yogurt, bringing in fresh cut flowers, double yolk egg, free range chicken. We're looking at that, but we're going to kick it off on Saturday mornings. At the moment, we open on Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah. We're going to be opening on Fridays in about 3 weeks' time as well. To disperse the crowd and to also
to
give
this.
You know, I've got 106 vendors now. We've created 504 jobs with the Four Hills Farmers Market, and we at our capacity, and we're looking at how can we grow.
Okay.
We are looking at another piece of land on the other side of Joburg to open another one.
Okay,
but we'll see.
All right. So just a tip: when you do the free range chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Mlekwa. We want that one.
Siawangaku.
That's the one we want. The hard body. Okay. So how do you identify a target market? So obviously you've got a community, an established community in the Four Ways area. But how did you know that there'd be people receptive to this picnic space, come organic market, come place to be?
I think it's a case of make it and they will come. There wasn't a case of me going off to go and do market research and studies and things like that. When I first built it in Four Hills, and I mean, I moved it 2 years ago to Modderfontein. We moved from 9,800 squares, and now I'm sitting on 5.3 hectares of land. When we first started, we were doing 23 vendors, and 635 people came on my first day. 9 years later, we do between 5,000 and 7,000 people over an entire weekend, and I've got 106 vendors. How do you create that target? I think it's a case of, it's an interesting thing. Johannesburg has got a population of maybe double or more what Cape Town has, and Cape Town has got three times more markets than Joburg. So it's we could add another 20 markets to Joburg and still there would be enough. I think what the idea was to give people an opportunity of different kinds of market. I don't see other markets as competition to me. I actually, what I encourage other markets to open. The reason being, if we can change the culture, that what are you doing this weekend? Are we going to a downtown Joburg market, an urban renewal market, a vegan one, an esoteric one, a music one, or farmers one? That I think is a lovely idea. So then it's not a case of going to the same old, same old. Our clientele, and it's interesting that they want to meet the maker. You know, you walk up and down an aisle in a shopping center, which you have to do. You're pushing a trolley and you're grabbing a brand. When you walk up and down our aisles, you meet the guy. The clientele actually have created, we've got between 77 and 82% regulars in our place. They've made relationships with those small business owners. And the interaction moves them saying, let's not serve it with that much mayonnaise. Let's rather add this.
Right.
Change packaging, change pricing, change offerings.
And you're developing new tastes and palates. And I think that's very important. People are discovering foods that they perhaps weren't even aware of.
There's a lot of guys that started in my farmer's market that eventually ended up in the restaurant game or going into catering. We got awarded the CEO award a couple of months ago from the Restaurant Association of South Africa. And when I was asked to give a speech, I said, you know, I'm the incubator for guys that will eventually grow up and get into restaurants, because he's not signing a lease in a big shopping center. He's being able to substitute his income Monday to Friday. Then on Saturday and Sunday, he takes that risk.
Tell us a little bit about your vendors and traders. Just a little bit of the profile. Are they people like me who have a day job, but they dabble with a hot sauce at home? they're growing their beetroot, their specialist orchids, and then you've created a platform.
It's a nice mix. There is some of that. There is some Monday to Friday workers that then come and substitute incomes and Saturday Sundays with their passion. I mean, the one thing about it is it's taken a long time. It's taken 9 years of going through the bush backwards behind a bucky at high speed, and the bush was thorn bush because the amount of different people that came through that were buying and selling rather than making and selling. And right. I think that to break through that, the profit margin in buying and selling compared to making and selling, we've differentiated between those two and stopped it. So who is the vendor? It's somebody who wakes up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning, packs a car, has done prep work through the night, then comes, stands, smiles in front of people in their drones, explains their food to them, gives them taste, gives them treats, cooks it in front of them. So you're meeting the maker. It's not your food is prepared behind a wall. You are, and you can tell them, and you can design your burger in front of you. I think, you know, that we kick off at 8 a.m. and we close at 4 or 5. But through these last couple of weeks with the summer that it's been, we've been closing at 6, 7 in the evening. Right. It's a long day, 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
It's dedication.
So besides the food and that kind of taste experience, what else can they look forward to? Because I know one thing about Joburg is they love that festival vibe, that music vibe.
Well, we've now created 2 music lawns. I think, I don't know if you heard, but all about the Twitter war that went crazy about us introducing new different kinds of music to my market. And people had a little go, but it was good fun and it all came back down to normality. But the lovely thing with the piece of land that I've got and being a fancy gardener, we've planted about 350 trees on our property. We've created large gardens, large rolling lawns. So what we've been able to do is decentralize people. And we're in a little bit of a drive at the moment to make people understand that on a Saturday morning, it's one concept. On a Saturday lunchtime, it's another. Saturday afternoon, another. And the same applies. We have 2 music lawns, one with folk unplugged and one with a little bit more of an upbeat, and after 3 going on to 5, a little bit of groove kicked in. And it's worked properly. The reason being, our property is nearly 0.5 kilometer long. And you can self-segregate yourself into whatever the group you want. If you want to sit looking over the dam, watching the cormorants come into roost, or if you want to sit in the children's area or in the slightly more upbeat area, it's entirely up to you.
There's a reason why we're having this conversation, and it's because here in Power Talk, many things have been said about the need to really kickstart, stimulate, harness, protect the township economy. Mm-hmm. We know that we live in a country that has a serious inequality issue, a serious unemployment issue, and yet many people are crafters. They use their hands. They are talented. They've got ingenuity. It's platforms that are not available. How can a concept like a farmer's market help to stimulate a township economy in a Tembisa or a Soweto, for instance?
I've had a look at a couple of them because I think you are so spot on. If we can take that concept that happens in a rank and take it and polish it, and you're right, create a platform where there is security. So what are we doing? We're taking a park and we're polishing up a park. We're making spotless toilets. There's toilet staff. There's roaming cleaning staff. There's 19 car guards. There's 12 bouncers. There's a paramedic. There's a sound engineer. Why? Because I want to, when people walk through that door, they must say, I'm safe. And that, I think, is the platform that we need to create. Why don't we go and look at some of those old defunct parks that are not being looked after in the townships and say, hold on a second. It's gone nowhere. Let's fence it. Let's polish it. Let's put in the right ablutions. Let's put in solar panels. Let's take it off the grid. Let's create a music area. We've proved over 9 years that if you put all those resources into place, you can create a safe park where people will go. And then in the park, all they're doing is they're bringing their wallets and maybe a blanket. Mm. The balance is all taken care of for you. There's clean toilets, there's lovely music, there's a good assortment and range of food. We have to, when we curate our market, we have to think of Something for starters, something for mains, something for desserts. We have to think of crafting, gifting, jewelry, baked goods, beverages. We have to think of halal, kosher, vegan, vegetarian. We have to look at all sorts of bits and pieces. It's not as simple as it seems. I think the Americans got it really right when they started their farmers market, and when they curate them, they make sure that they've ticked all those boxes. You need to think about how many human beings that you're going to have, that you don't overload your food vendors, but at the same time don't erode them. So we don't have three guys doing burgers. Rather than make people compete against themselves, give them that uniqueness, and you've got that. Nobody's going to be selling a burger up against you, because then he's got that. It also then allows me to get somebody else in that could do something completely different. Do we want people coming in with hot dogs and burger? Not really. But if somebody arrives with wild mushrooms on a skewer with rosemary oil on it, or wow, clever, smart.
There's an exclusivity you also like about it.
You don't want to have three guys doing the same dish. What it does, A, it chops his profit in half, and B, it stops you from actually going out and hunting for somebody else. You know, we've just had somebody approach us and say, can we come and do sweet corn and mellies, and we do it in three different ways? I said, well done, clever, smart, in the jacket, boiled, roasted, with a different butter. I said, you know what, how many guys come and said, can we come and sell Cook Sisters? There we go. It's about finding something that's unique, that's clever and smart.
And still South African, because Millie's is intrinsic.
Sure.
South African.
I mean, imagine Millie bread off the cob, on the cob. Yeah, we start a Millie farm.
What sort of products really go down well at a food market? And you know, with this example you've just used of the burger guy, does the burger guy come every?
Every. Because if he's not, I have customers that complain.
So you don't say there's three different burger people. There's Tabiso, there's Faith, there's Lerato. No. Today we try Lerato. Yeah. You say the best burger, that's it.
That's it. We don't have five different people doing curry and rice. We've got one guy doing shisanyama. One. Why? Because we've gone through 15.
Barbecues. And this is the guy.
Ndozi, you're on the money. Let's go. And then he knows that he can really pay attention to his product. He's not slapping stuff together. He knows that he has got that little market in his basket. Mm-hmm. I think as the owner of a farmer's market, that's what you should do. Mm. Unfortunately, in the beginning, you're running, hopping, skipping, jumping, chasing, trying to fill your market. But over time, it gives you that opportunity to start polishing it and just separating everybody.
Okay, quality is key, is what I keep hearing you say. So when you say you've been scouting for land, and I'm mentioning this township economy to you, do you think there's a dovetail here?
Most definitely. I mean, we've created a brand now. We've got over 155,000 followers on social media. This is a crazy little thing that I started as a side hustle. And
your side hustle became side your main hustle. Thing.
Well, not yet. But it's getting
You're still landscaping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I'm actually building a farm in the Seychelles at the moment. So I do stuff all over the show. But my concept of how could we take this into the townships? I mean, I'd love to. I'd love to. If there's a park going begging out there next to a river that we could clean up and create some market gardens, bring in some containers.
Yes.
We've got a model that's working. It's not like we're going to the bank and asking them to give us a loan on something we're hoping and wishing will come right.
Yeah.
But I think that alone, just doing a mentorship program inside the townships, in old parks, and giving them a reason to rejuvenate. Mm. It's all well good you slap in some playground equipment and you start sending a tractor to go and mow the lawn in a park. But where's it going? But if you put a farmer's market into the park, it'll give it a reason. And it'll give it sustainability and longevity.
I do like that a lot. And first, you know, what comes to my mind is Soweto, because that's what I know. I'm thinking Rockville area. Because it's got those main ingredients. There is a park, there is a waterway, it's next to a main, it's near a main road, so access is pretty easy. Protea Glen, I think, also has some of those attributes. And people in that township are cooks for days, they are bakers for days. And
the talent we see come through, people bringing stuff through to us, is extraordinary, especially after COVID. The amount of, once upon a time, we had people coming that were doing it as a hobby. We're seeing qualified chefs come through every week saying, this is what I'm doing. It's not somebody slapping together some street food, not at all. The quality's there.
And you've mentioned the social media element. I mean, obviously, in terms of galvanizing crowds, and beautiful pictures sit well on an Instagram. But what else is the benefit of a digital in terms of another market or a sales portal?
I think what it does is it gives our small business guys, our vendors, a chance to be highlighted. We highlight different vendors through the week. When there's somebody new, we let it be known. We get it out there. So the reason being because we've got such a strong following. I mean, I've got an amazing backing in Joburg. Joburg's been amazing to us. Mm. So my followers, when somebody's had a go at us on social media, they get there before I get a chance to nail
them. What did they say about your music?
So the social media aspect is great as a platform to help grow the new vendors and get them out and get them known.
Okay, so going forward, we're going to see more of these farmers markets and a Buddha market in the Joburg area, which I think means you need to take back what you said earlier on about us Joburgers not really being that kind of sophisticated in terms of organic foods and
we need to wear our fellies more.
Our what?
Our veldskins more. Okay,
I'm a real Joburg girl. Okay. They're veldskins like the farmers. Excuse me, I would come in like very nice sneakers with sparkles.
I've got a pair of gumboots outside.
Are they hunter boots?
Oh, look at you designing.
I mean, I got to be in keeping with the Joburg theme. And just generally, again, like I said to you earlier on, what are the foods that really sell well in a farmer's market?
I think the things that have done...
What do people love? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Something that's in front of them, being cooked in front of them. If anything is pre-prepared, they go to the next one, even though it will be 10 times faster at the next table. But people want to see that thing being cooked in front of them. It's just that joy. It's like somebody else is brining for me. Could you imagine? And that works so well. When we've had guys pre-prep and pre-do, they walk on. There's a queue at the next place. And what'll happen? The guys will be backed up because they're seeing it getting done in front of them. The performance. There's action, there's involvement, there's a team, there's singing, whether it's Something Fresh doing our chicken, whether it's Santana doing our wraps, whether it's Cravings doing our burger or Brown Bag or the Paella guy. The ones that work are the ones where the guy is actually making what you've ordered in front of you.
So it's not really about a taste, like there's a palate. So people will go for burger, paella, you're saying something Spanish. It's about the fact that they are exploring the journey from fork, what did they say?
Yeah.
From farm to fork.
Yeah.
They want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
From its raw to becoming something.
Yeah, that's what
goes down.
And they're
not really concerned what cuisine it is.
You know, the thing about it is if you go to a shopping center and you walk into a food court, you've got a bunch of franchises doing food. You don't see the thing getting prepared.
Mm.
You place the order, go through a little hole in the wall, and somebody else is jumping up and down in the background. This is different. You stand at the counter, and you talking to him while he's cooking.
Mm.
That's a whole nother ballgame. I think that's where I think it is going to go. So much so, and maybe I'm going to put my foot in it, but I've had two shopping centers approach me and say, our food court's not working. Would you think of bringing a farmer's market kind of vibe into the food court?
And what do you make of that?
I love it. The fact that eventually we're going to get little guys. If you don't make it, bake it, or grow it, you can't sell it. It's not the recipe is not getting printed at head office in the States, put in a laminate and get sent over here. And by hook or by crook, you've got to cook that meal. No.
But if we're going back to the picnic outdoors element, why would you go to a shopping mall to experience a farmer's market?
Because sometimes you're forced into shopping centres.
Okay.
Because you can't get those hunters that you need in the taxi rank.
And
so.
And what has a food and farmer's market really taught you about the people of South Africa?
Wow. I lived abroad. I was born in South Africa and then I went overseas and then I came back. And I got to say one thing, that the farmers market that I've had, the Waterfall Market and the Foy's Farms, now the one in Modderfontein. It's an amazing free space, because we're not in a restaurant. And it's amazing that you now come with mom, dad, granny, grandpa, pram, and dog. It's a lovely open picnic space where I've taken away the ugly elements of security and litter, and I've sorted that out. So what I watch is I watch people interact across every platform, up and down aisles, helping each other. Oh, do you want to come and sit at our table? So there's not enough shade, but come underneath our umbrella. Listen, guys, I'm leaving. Would you like to take this table? There's an amazing, I think we opened after COVID. We got hit hard. Mm. And when we first opened after COVID, it was an amazing, everybody was going to go and picnic together and watch the vibe on our music lawns and watch our musicians experience those people again. And we're not a nightclub. We're not a bar. We're not a restaurant. We're a farmer's market. We're an outdoor picnic space. Mm. And people are in such a nice, relaxed mode. People have said to me, Greg, why didn't you get into the nightclub? I said, never. Yeah. Never, ever. Why didn't you get into the bar game? No. Why? This is perfect. Yeah. You're watching people in their perfect space outside.
So you've seen camaraderie.
Yeah. Amazing camaraderie. And amongst the vendors. That's been amazing. Yeah. Between those small business guys helping each other when one's run out of tomato and he just leans over, grabs one from there, or your yoko's not working, can I lend you mine? Mm. That sort of thing. It's pulled together a really nice team.
When we started the program today, we quoted a quote that says, despite everything, the chaos wrought upon us by the politics and the politicians, remember that the world intrinsically is full of kindness. And I'm glad we're ending on this note, because that's what we need to remember.
Yeah.
Devla Murphy's words is that the world has good people. And when you just create an environment where that goodness can shine through, it just sets the tone for the day. And so South Africa, you are those people. You are those crafters, those entrepreneurs, those honey makers, those bakers, those butchers. Let's create a community, because we don't need the politicians to do it. It's been this edition of Power Talk. Thank you very much to you, Greg Straw, founder and owner of the Four Ways Farmers Market.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.